Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Behind the Black, Bob Zimmerman is here. We're looking at Super Heavy Starship, the next test, and we're looking at a date, and we're looking at ambition, and also changes in two of the launch profiles for the Starship and for Super Heavy, maybe. Bob, a very good evening to you. What's the best date we've got so far for the next launch?
Oh, we don't have a date, John, but we're moving towards what looks like a good chance that SpaceX's prediction of early July or in July is going to be good. I linked on Behind the Black to a good story from NASAspaceflight.com describing in detail all the things that are going on at Boca Chica to prepare for the next flight. The keys having to do with Starship is they're now replacing all 18,000 tiles, the older tiles they put on the next prototype. They're going to replace them with different tiles using a different formula that also includes some ablative material. Remember, the whole point of all the testing with Starship right now has to do with getting it back from orbit without damage, getting it to land in the ocean vertically, softly, without damage. And they saw damage in the last flight, so they got, even though it did land, come down, splash down in a vertical position, it didn't come down in exactly the right spot, and it was damaged. So that's the main testing for Starship. They got to get it back undamaged. And so they're changing the tile system to try to improve it. Right now, the FAA has said that they're not doing an investigation, I put that in quotes, because they just retyped SpaceX's work. But they're not going to even do that this time, the FAA said, because if the SpaceX runs a flight profile similar to the March flight, whereby Super Heavy lands in the Gulf of Mexico and Starship lands in the Indian Ocean, there's no reason for the FAA to do anything because they know SpaceX can duplicate that flight profile, and that's the profile that they got their present license for. And so if that's the case, when SpaceX is ready to go with the prototype for Starship and the prototype for Super Heavy, they can go, which means a July launch would be very likely. However, Elon Musk has said that the last flight was so successful in a number of ways, especially with Super Heavy, because it came down where it was supposed to, Super Heavy, that he's interested in maybe trying to bring Super Heavy back to the tower at Boca Chica so the chopsticks on the tower can grab it and it can land softly at the tower. Now, if he does that on the next flight, I'm fully expecting the FAA to step in and say, no, you got to apply for a launch license change. And that's going to delay things. So that's where we stand. We're unknown. I personally think what SpaceX is going to do is they're not going to ask for a flight change. They're going to go for a flight quickly because the most important engineering test they right now need to do is get Starship back to the ground undamaged. And so they've got to test that. Getting Super Heavy to land at the tower is an important thing, but it's not the most priority. They now know they can do everything with Super Heavy they want to, and they can do that later. And I say what they should do is when they think they're getting close to bringing Super Heavy back, then they should apply for the advance, for the launch license, but not have it delay any launch in the process. The more launches they can do right now, the better.
One detail, Bob. Musk, when he was younger, is a roll-the-dice kind of guy. He doesn't hesitate to go for it.
No, he doesn't. But he would be, you know, he knows the regulatory culture right now very well, and he plays it very well. And he's got engineering in mind. He's got to do test flights to improve Starship. And so I'm sure he's not going to want to delay test flights. They got prototypes in the wings. Super Heavy can come back to the tower at some point, but it's not the priority right now. The priority is figuring out how to get Starship down properly, and they got to test that. And so the more flights they can do, the better to test that.
All right.
And so don't delay anything. It would be very smart, for example, to make a decision now that we're going to apply for a Super Heavy tower landing 3 flights from now. And put in that flight plan application now, give the FAA time so that when they can approve it, then you have no delay in your flight schedule. Don't try to do it in the next flight and have things delayed. That's what I say.
I understand. I'm just remembering after they failed with the Falcon 9 3 times, he had enough money to do one more. They thought that
he
went for it. That's what he did.
Yeah, he went for it, even though, and if it didn't go, that company would have died right then and there. He knew that. But he had no choice. He had to fly it. If he didn't fly it, he'd still die. So it was, you know, it was an easy decision.
Okay.
In this case, this is not, it's different here. Anyway.
Starlink, they're still launching. What's the launch rate this
year? All right, this is a story that where the launch is not the story. Yes, SpaceX this week launched 20 Starlink satellites again with the Falcon 9. It was on its 5th flight. It landed, of course, in the drone ship. They always do that nowadays. But the story here is that there was a 10-day break between the previous launch by SpaceX and this launch. And I noted that 10-day break because today it seems like something is wrong if it's a 10-day break. But only maybe a year or two ago, a 10-day break between a company's launches would have been a fast pace, would have been considered a very fast pace. And now, if SpaceX doesn't launch in 10 days, something seems wrong. And I want to just note that, John. That's all. They're just flying along. They got lots of flights. They're dominating the world. And that's just
Rocket Lab, 10 launch contracts. That's good news. Rocket Lab is trustworthy.
Yes, Rocket Lab is the other new player on the rocket game, and they just completed their 50th launch, which puts them in a very elite club of private companies. Pretty much ULA and SpaceX are the only ones that are in that company privately. You got government entities, but that's a different game, and I think private companies will pass them then. So Rocket Lab has, and I should point out that 50th launch was for a French commercial satellite company that has a 25-satellite constellation that's basically Rocket Lab is going to launch the entire constellation. Well, they just got a new 10-launch contract from a Japanese satellite company to launch its entire constellation of what is it, 16 satellites? Something like that. So 10 more launches. So Rocket Lab's got a lot of business coming down the road because they continue to launch well. And they say next year their larger neutron rocket will be launching for the first time.
Rocket Lab. Here's Bob's got this. The details here to impress everybody. 63 for SpaceX so far in 24. 63. 27 for China, but here's the striking fact. 8 for Russia and 8 for Rocket Lab. Rocket Lab is keeping up with the oldest space program, Roscosmos, and Rocket Lab matches it so far.
It's going to beat it in a few weeks, John. Be ahead of it again. So, yeah.
We move to a startup in Germany. What's it up to?
Yes, this is one of the three rocket company startups that are coming out of Germany. It's called ISAR Aerospace. They raised an additional something like $70 million in investment capital recently, bringing their entire investment money that they brought in to over $400 million. They have lots of money. It's interesting, of those three companies, ISAR is the only one that hasn't done a launch yet of any kind. The other two companies, High Impulse and Rocket Lab Augsburg, have both done suborbital test flights. But ISAR has not yet, but they have a rocket called Spectrum. It's an orbital rocket, and they have contracts. They have deals that they can launch it from both French Guiana and a new spaceport in Andøya, Norway. And so this is a company, once again, they got lots of money, so we're looking at stuff in Europe.
I don't remember, Bob, Germany being one of the first movers on this. I remember Luxembourg. I remember Australia. I certainly remember the spaceports in the UK. I don't, and French Guiana, of course, was prominent, but I don't remember Germany. Can you recall how
The backstory there, John, is this, that Germany for After World War II, no one wanted Germany to make rockets, so they were pretty much banned from doing such things. And when they joined the European Space Agency, it was mostly to partner with France to build Ariane Space, the government rocket. And up until about 2 years ago, Europe's whole approach and the European Space Agency's whole approach was having the government run everything. But in the last 2 years, they've switched to the capitalism model, and Germany led the way in that, by the way. Germany, 3 years ago, suddenly these three rocket startups appeared out of nowhere. Germany, we're no longer afraid of Germany making rockets. We're not thinking of them as a dangerous power. We're thinking of them, these are civilian rockets for commercial satellites. And all three companies are independent of the government and independent of the European Space Agency or Ariane Space. So Germany led the way. France and Italy now and Spain have followed. And so basically what's happening in Europe is they're getting out of the government model and they're going to the private enterprise model where the government and others buy the products from private companies.
Well, Germany's got the money, it's got the manufacturing, and it certainly has the technology. So I'm glad they're getting involved. Slovenia, one of the small states that have been associated with the European Union, with NATO, and also with Ukraine. Now it's joining the European Space Agency. So this is a late join. They're not. This isn't about Artemis, then. It's about the ESA.
No, this is about Europe and Russia, I think. Slovenia was part of Yugoslavia, which means it was kind of part of the Soviet Communist bloc. But Slovenia in the last few years has really tied itself much to the West. And I think the Ukraine invasion has made it even more eager to tie itself to the West. And so Slovenia has been working with the European Space Agency since 2008, but those ties keep getting stronger and stronger. And once again, the Ukraine invasion, I think, only made those ties stronger. And so now it has applied for European Space Agency membership. It wants to become the 23rd member nation in the European Space Agency. What that does is it puts it in a position to take advantage of all these private rocket companies that are coming out of Europe right now. And they have some space technology in Slovenia, and they want to make it grow. And so that's what's that about.
New Shepard is Blue Origin. It's suborbital, and it's been used so far for PR. Now it's going to fly a not-yet-chosen Nigerian national. Why, Bob? What's the deal?
This is part of, as you say, Blue Origin has mostly become a PR stunt with its New Shepard suborbital plane. Every flight, they make a big deal about flying some underrepresentative individual who never flew before, like a former black astronaut who never flew, or a former test pilot who never was accepted, a black man who was never accepted in NASA's program. So now they've signed they've worked out a deal using a private charity, a Nigeria Space Agency, and then another nonprofit in Nigeria called Learn Space. They worked out a deal where the first Nigerian citizen can fly on New Shepard on a quick suborbital flight. And they list to the way you can apply if you're a Nigerian. Anyone can apply. I personally don't think any ordinary person is going to win that. It's going to be some game played by these various agencies to pick somebody within the upper echelon of their own administrative state in Nigeria. And meanwhile, New Shepard and Blue Origin, it's just PR stuff.
It's the richest nation in Africa. It's also top heavy with very well-established investor class. So, Bob Zimmerman.
Lots of corruption in Nigeria.
That is a word. Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going exploring. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.